Right, now let's welcome from Cambridge University, David Mackay. Hi, David.
Hi.
Thank you for coming in. Now, we've heard a lot of options on today's programme about things that you can do to live a cleaner, greener, meaner life. Is there a scientific argument for adopting these approaches?
Well, it's definitely exciting to have these options of fuels like hydrogen and other fuels derived from biomass. But an important thing to think about is the actual energy. Where is the energy coming from? And it isn't that we've got a fuel problem. If we want to get off fossil fuels, it's not so much fuels, it's where are we going to get the energy from instead of from fossil fuels. So I've done a little calculation, like your lightning strike calculation, just adding up the numbers for Britain. Could we live on our own biofuels, for example? So we start with sunlight, which is 1,000 watts per square metre at midday. And then, it's not midday all the time, so we lose out at night time and in evening and morning. It comes down to 250 watts per square metre on average. That's if there's no clouds, but it's cloudy two-thirds of the time, so we're down to 80 watts per square metre. And that's the figure if you're at the equator. We're quite far north. It comes down to 50 watts per square metre on average is the power of sunlight. And then the best plants for making carbohydrates out of are 1% efficient. So that gets us down to half of a watt per square metre. And now you just need to know what's the population density of Britain. It's 4,000 square metres per person.
Okay.
And if I get to be dictator of Britain, I say, okay, let's have 75% of Britain devoted to growing biofuels. How much energy do we get from that? Well, the raw carbohydrate that you're getting out in the form of plant material is 36 kilowatt hours per day. And in Britain, 36 kilowatt hours per day is pretty much the amount of energy we're spending on transport at the moment. But you've got to bear in mind, we haven't processed that plant material into fuel.
So in other words, if we put across all of the space we have available, we could just about be energy self-sufficient using plants. But what about food? We're not going to eat.
Exactly.
We're going to buy it all in from France or something.
Yeah, earlier on your show, you were saying we could live on organic food. But that organic food needs that land to be grown on as well. So we really have a crunch. And also bear in mind the biofuels. We hadn't actually produced the biofuels, and producing biofuels from that plant material requires energy too. And many of these biofuel processes lose a lot of energy along the way, have to put in extra energy.
So when we've got President Bush saying we're going to put across X amount of land to growing all these things to make biofuels, there's not a sound either ecological or scientific argument for doing that.
Well, the population density of America is lower than ours. So I'd certainly say Britain can't live on biofuels for transport in the way that we currently live. America, their population density is maybe five times lower than ours. So they've got
still got to eat, haven't they? They've still got to eat food.
Yeah, and I do think there's a big worry that in this rush to look green, people will actually end up doing something that's actually very bad for the poorer people of the world who would like to use the land for food rather than for our biofuel.
Also, is there a risk that if you suddenly switch all this land away from agriculture, you may actually make the environment worse because you're establishing even more of a monoculture? You've got lots of one particular kind of crop growing to make lots of oil, which we can turn into biodiesel or whatever, and that could have knock-on effects for the environment.
Yes, that's right. And another environmental concern is the water requirements. If we did take over lots of extra land and start growing more crops on it, we'll end up with a world water shortage as well.
So what is the answer then? Just we travel less? What do we do to get around the problem?
I think we need to be looking at lifestyle changes to be able to live self-sufficiently on our own renewables. Alternatively, we need to be really nice to other countries and say, OK, Libya, you guys, you've got a nice low population density, you've got lots of sunlight, please could we be nice to you and buy a bit of solar power from you?
I did a back-of-the-envelope calculation and found that if you covered the entire Sahara Desert in solar cells, assuming they're about 30% efficient and the sun shines for 12 hours of the day, then you could generate about 10 to the 15 watts. I mean, that's the equivalent power of the Gulf Stream. That's a lot of energy. I mean, that's a million gigawatt nuclear power stations, for example, or Gulf Fire, whatever power station, a million gigawatt power stations, a lot of energy. Why aren't we doing this? This surely should be the answer.
I completely agree. I think solar in the desert is one of the options for humanity. You could certainly power Europe and North Africa, all at a European standard of living, using just a small fraction of the Sahara Desert. Why aren't we doing that? Well, why are we bombing Iraq?
Don't go there. Well, I suppose we could have said that for President Bush. But to sort of wrap up then, how sound is it to say to people, oh, everything makes a difference? Turning off your TV when it's on standby, not leaving your phone charger plugged in when it's not charging anything, this will help to save the planet. Will it?
Some of these things definitely make a difference. The phone charger is crazy. If you take a typical Nokia phone charger, it's using less than 1 watt. It's a really tiny trickle. It's probably about 1% of 1% of your energy consumption is going into the phone charger. So the phone charger.
The argument is that there are so many people with these things plugged in not doing anything that, en masse, if you add them all up, it makes a huge difference.
If you add it all up, you get 1% of 1% of the UK's energy consumption. And that's how big a difference the phone charger makes.
So we're being penny wise, pound foolish with that argument, is what you're saying.
I think so. But there are other things on standby that really do make a difference. If you're leaving a computer plugged in all the time, that's using maybe 80 watts. If its screen is switched on, that's another 100 watts maybe. A laser printer just sitting doing nothing at all, that's 17 watts. And all of these things really do add up. And that if everyone were careful in switching off those sort of devices, you could be saving maybe 10, 20% of our electricity consumption.
Thank you very much. That's David Mackay, who is from the University of Cambridge.